Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 13. Luke 11, 1 through 13, this is God's word. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to see me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness or persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, first of all, I presume as I read that you noticed that Luke's presentation of what we call the Lord's Prayer is shorter than Matthew's. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives a longer version of this same basic prayer. This is not a contradiction. First of all, it's a different setting when this happens. Secondly, it's a different audience. And thirdly, nothing in either one contradicts the other. Matthew 6 is simply an expanded version that Jesus shared in the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus went on to say some things here about prayer. And he said some things in Matthew about prayer, and he said things in other Gospels about prayer, and as much as we can learn, we ought to gather from all of them. This morning, however, we're going to focus on what's here. First of all, they asked him to teach them how to pray. They asked Jesus. And so Jesus begins by telling them they need to be addressing God, our Father. I'm going to go ahead and give you the main point right now, right here at the start of the lesson. Prayer is talking with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is talking with our Heavenly Father. It's not making a speech to God. It's not making a speech to others disguised as a prayer to God. Prayer is talking with our Heavenly Father. And so, in order to pray rightly, you need to know who you're talking to. If I'm praying to God, it's one kind of conversation. If I was meeting with the Supreme Court and trying to get them to do something, or meeting with the President of the United States, or our Senator from Tennessee, in each of those settings, it would be a different experience. My conversation would be different. My presentation would be different. Because in each case, it depends on the relationship. So the thing is, do you know who you're talking to? Is he your father? Not everyone is in a position to call God Father. Jesus said in John 8:44 to a bunch of very religious people, you are of your father the devil. You're his children. Well, that seems a bit harsh. It was actually a very important warning that was an accurate diagnosis of the relationship between those very religious people who genuinely hated God because they hated Jesus. And if you don't realize that man's natural state, human beings in our natural state, the Bible says, are at enmity against God. We demonstrate our hostility toward God by sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. Human nature is hostile toward God in its natural state. Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You need a new life. You need to be born of the Spirit. And so I would say to you this morning, if you want to know about prayer, prayer is talking with our Heavenly Father, but is he your Heavenly Father? Have you been born again? You must come through faith in Christ Jesus. There's no other way. Recently, the Pope was shown saying that all religions are a path to God. Well, that's one way of looking at it. It's Satan's way of looking at it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. No one. Well, what about a person who's really sincere? What about a person who sincerely believes that they can fly and jumps off a building? Gravity doesn't respect insanity. And if you believe that by being sincere, it doesn't really matter whether or not it's the truth, you are mistaken.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, who are you talking with? That's the first thing we need to notice in this prayer. Father, our Father, our Father in heaven. That's who the Christian is talking with if we're praying rightly. Sometimes people are just talking to themselves. Sometimes they're really just talking to other people and trying to make it sound like they're talking to God. But real prayer, the kind that Jesus is teaching, is when we're talking with our Heavenly Father. Secondly, our first priority in prayer is God's glory and His kingdom. That's got to be our top priority when we pray. What's the main thing that you want to ask of God? The main thing you should want to ask of God is that His name would be hallowed, treated as holy, and that His kingdom would come. What about your will be done? Well, that's what it means for His kingdom to come. His kingdom is not about geography. It's about relationship with Him as the King. Is He Lord of your life? Do you want Him to be Lord of your life? Do you rejoice in His sovereignty, knowing that He knows best, even when He doesn't do things the way that we would ask Him to? Your kingdom. I want Your kingdom to come, Lord, not mine. I'm not asking that my will would be imposed everywhere on earth. I'm not even asking that my will would be imposed in my life. I want God's will to be done. That's what it means to pray, Your kingdom come. Then, when we've dealt with the most important thing, God's glory and God's kingdom, then we pray for daily needs. Daily needs. I don't just want today's needs. I think there might be some very concerning events in this world, and I'd like to have enough food to last for a significant period of time should the power go out and the grocery shelves be empty. Okay? So I would like for the Lord to provide me with a whole bunch of extra. All right? I'm 70 years old. I'm still working fairly hard, and I'm still getting paid. And one reason, honestly, is because I realize there's likely to come a time when I won't even know where I am. And they're still going to have to feed me, I think. So, I'd like to have some money saved up. And yet, what will become of all of that if I just stroke out and collapse and I'm gone? It'll go to your family and maybe to the ministry? Yeah. But I want to be sure there's enough, so I'm working hard. You understand? Pastor Wood, you're telling me that you're motivated just by money? No! But it's one of my motives. Understand? That's called mixed motives. It's reality. Don't be dishonest with yourself or others about the fact that you have more than one reason for most of the things you do. Prayer is for daily needs. Ask God to meet your needs. Well, what if I've already got enough stuff for today? We still give thanks at every meal. Why? Because we are reminding ourselves that apart from God, we'd have none of it. This praying for daily bread is deliberately maintaining a posture of dependence. It is recognizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. So, prayer for daily needs, a posture of dependence, thanking God for what we already have, and recognizing that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. He's the one who's provided it. You and I couldn't take our next breath apart from God. Next, asking for forgiveness. Forgive us our sins. Why would we need to ask that? Because we've all sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we need to confess our sins, the Bible says, and ask God for forgiveness. In 1 John, we read, if we say that we have no sin, we're only deceiving ourselves. We lie, and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't try and pray to God and convince him that you really didn't do anything that bad. Confess your sins and ask his forgiveness and find that God's grace is abundant and that Jesus came to save sinners. Ask for forgiveness. And out of gratitude for his mercy and grace, forgive everybody else who's done stuff to you. Well, I can forgive some of it, but there are some things I just can't forgive. Well, then you've got a problem with God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus amplifies this one part of the Lord's Prayer. It's the only part he goes back and revisits. After he's taught that prayer to the crowd on the mountainside, he says, "For I tell you the truth, if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father doesn't forgive you." Well, I can never trust that person again. You don't have to trust that person. He didn't command us to trust those who've sinned against us. He says, forgive them. You can forgive somebody without trusting them. You can forgive somebody who's dead. This is not reconciliation. This is forgiveness. You don't have to trust someone in order to forgive them, but you must forgive them. God commands it. Well, but I still feel so hurt. That's okay. You don't have to feel unhurt. You don't have to rationalize what they did. Well, I guess they didn't really mean any harm. They just had a knife and kept stabbing. You don't have to rationalize their behavior. You can acknowledge the sin and forgive them, knowing that no one, nobody on earth could sin against us as much as all of us have sinned against God. And God has forgiven us and commands us to forgive one another. Then he teaches us to request deliverance from temptation, and in Matthew's expanded version, and deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. We need to recognize that we're in a battle against evil. And the temptation is continually coming to seek to undo us and get us to do things to hurt ourselves and to hurt others. And so we ask God to deliver us from that and from the powers of the enemy. We were once a part of that kingdom. We were once a slave to sin. And we're asking the Lord, we're saying, we don't want that anymore. We don't want to be a part of that anymore. I don't want to just keep sinning and getting forgiven. I want to walk in a way that pleases the Lord. I want to walk in holiness. I want to walk in the light. Then, after that model prayer, Jesus talks about two other aspects of prayer. There's a lot more in Scripture about prayer, but two things here. Number one of these other things, he says, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread." Pray specifically. Pray specifically. If you've heard the story of the purple sneakers, you know that I believe it's important to pray specifically. Okay? God wants us to recognize what he's done when he's done it. And so pray specifically and persistently. Jesus tells this story and elsewhere also demonstrates that a part of the reason why this guy gets his thing, it says here, it translates it's his boldness. It's not just his boldness. It's that he's there in the middle of the night asking persistently. And he says, initially there's a denial. I can't do it. I'm already in bed with my kids and my family, so just go on. He's saying, it's not convenient for me to give right now. And he says, but he will, because you keep asking. Then it talks about, I say this to you, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Why don't they put what it says in the Greek? Because we don't want to sound too different from the King James. Well, what does it say in the Greek? It says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. The tense of that verb is ongoing action. Okay, it's not just something you do once. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. That's the way we're to pray. And then finally, final point here about prayer, is trust your Heavenly Father to give what is best. Trust your Heavenly Father to give what is best and know that what is truly best is God Himself. Jesus says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, the greatest thing you could possibly get from God? It's not another vehicle, not another job, it's not another place to live. The greatest thing you could possibly receive from God is God. It's the Holy Spirit. I mean, nothing else compares. And he will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Do you want an intimate relationship with God? You can have it. Do you want to know him really well, to walk in fellowship with him? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Oh, I want that kind of relationship with the Lord, but sometimes I just want my own way. Yeah, that's a problem. Let me suggest that you pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed. I want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. If that's what you want, you will see it. God has promised. This is the confidence we read in 1 John. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have the petition we desire of him. So if I pray for a fish, I'm going to get a fish, not a snake. Right. Well, what if I pray for tuna? Might I get a sardine instead? Only if God knows that you need what's in the sardine more than what is in the tuna. Maybe there's mercury in that tuna, and you don't want that. Just know that God knows what is best for you. And when you pray, pray with confidence that your Heavenly Father loves you and knows what is best and will do what is best as you yield yourself to his will. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God knows what's best. Trust him. Depend on him. Obey him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.